So we're turning today to 2 Timothy and the chapter 4, where we have here the Apostle Paul saying some of his final words before he is called home to glory. As we have considered the subject, waiting to go to heaven, we've been looking at some of the aspects of heaven, and heaven being home for us. What is heaven? The way to heaven. The worship in heaven. The wedding in heaven. And so forth. In the past few weeks, we've been looking at the subject, waiting to go to heaven. And here in verses 6, 7, and 8, we have Paul waiting to go to heaven. In verse 6, we considered Paul being ready for heaven. For he was able to say, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And how we use that word departure, as it is used of a ship pulling up its anchor, leaving the quayside, sailing out into the ocean to a new destination. Paul was saying the time of my departure, the pulling up of the anchor, cutting the cords with earth, are very near, and I'm going now to a new land. To the land that is fairer than day. We considered last week Paul's review before heaven. But he was able to look back upon his life and say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now we come to verse 8. And here Paul speaks about his reward in heaven. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul in these verses has been looking at the past, considering the present, and looking forward to the future. And in speaking about the future, namely his departure, Paul says in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Henceforth. That word henceforth there simply means what's remaining for me, what remains for me. And then he goes on to say, what remains for me is a crown of righteousness. That'll be given to me in that day. He's saying there is nothing more, nothing left for me to do. What remains for me is simply to go home now to be with the Lord. For he has already said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. It's all over. And in so doing, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, or now, what remains for me is to go home to glory and receive my crown of righteousness. Paul had a bright future, as every Christian has, for the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For their way is growing bright and their souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And for the apostle, it was glory all the way. This in contrast to the ungodly, to the unsaved soul. For when they come to depart from this scene of time, what will they say? What remains for me? Paul spoke about what remained for him. But what is it that remains for the unsaved soul? Dying without Christ, nothing but a certain fearful looking forward for of judgment and fiery indignation. It's what the sinner has to look forward to. But Paul's mind wasn't on such fearful things. Paul's eyes were lifted higher. Paul was able to say, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So I want to begin there by considering Paul and his crown. Paul and his crown. The apostle certainly had something wonderful to look forward to. He knew that he was going to receive a crown. Not just any crown, but a crown of righteousness. Now regarding this crown, we notice it was a prepared crown. He was able to say with confidence, there is, not perhaps or maybe, but there is a crown laid up for me. The reference here is to something that is held in reserve. Laid up. It's held in reserve. Certain times of the year, parents may go to Walmart and buy a gift for their children. They'll buy it in advance. And they'll ask the shop assistant, could you lay this by for me until I need it? And so it's laid by, or it's laid up until the time you will take possession of it and hold it in your hand. Likewise, Paul says, there is laid up for me. It has been set aside for me. And I'm about to receive it. It cannot be given or sold to anyone else. It's laid up, Paul says, for me. It's held in reserve for me. It's my crown. So this crown prepared for Paul would be kept in safekeeping. It would not be given away or taken away. It was laid up. Take those words, one word in the original, laid up. It is translated another way in Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Paul says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, the word laid up is translated in Hebrews 9, 27, appointed. It's the same word. In one place translated laid up, in another place appointed. And so this crown of righteousness was laid up for Paul and it was appointed for him. He would receive that crown when that appointment would be met. It is appointed unto men once to die. And when that appointment would be met, when the time of that appointment would come to pass, Paul says, I would then receive the crown that's laid up for me. We all have that appointment. And praise God, all those that love the Lord's appearing will receive a crown of righteousness. It's laid up for us, waiting the day when we will wear that crown. We notice also, not only is it a prepared crown, it's a personal crown. Paul said, there is laid up for me. It's for me. It's my own personal crown of righteousness. Paul was rejoicing as he waited for the hour of his departure, rejoicing that a crown had been prepared in heaven and held over and laid up in reserve for Paul, Saul of Tarsus. It was nobody else's crown, it was his crown. Just as the Lord told the disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you." He had gone to prepare a crown for Paul and for all those who love the Lord's appearing. In those words, he said the Lord was going to prepare a mansion. He's going to prepare a crown. Think of that, dear child of God. The Savior going and personally preparing a crown for you and me. A crown with our name on it. For us to wear on that glorious day. He knows our name. He knows our size. It is tailor-made for each one of us. And we'll receive it at the Lord's hand. I remember sitting at a meeting a good number of years ago in Pastor Willie Mullen's church. Pastor Mullen was a snappy dresser. He always stood outside the front door of his church to welcome people going in. We would often go over on a Tuesday night to his Bible class, the biggest Bible class in Europe, by the way. Mr. Mullen would stand at the top of the steps outside the door of the church. This particular night, he stood there in a white suit. And there's a hanky here, colourful hanky, and he had it hanging over the pocket and a flashy tie on him. And went into the service, and the meeting started. And then when he came to give announcements, he says, "Some people have been asking me where I got this suit. Let me tell you where I got this suit." He said he received a phone call that week from a man who owned a shop in Lurgan who sold suits and jackets and shirts and ties, etc. And he called him up and he said, "Mr. Mullen, I would like you to come down. I have a suit for you." He says, "The Lord told me to give it to you, and maybe you could come down and try it on, see if it fits." Mr. Mullen, with his usual wit, said, "Well, brother, if the Lord told you to give me the suit, he knows my size, so you just wrap it up and I'll be down to pick it up. If the Lord told you to give me the suit, he knows my size. I don't need to try it on. The Lord knows our size. And he'll have our crown tailor-made for us. There is laid up for me. My crown is there, waiting for me when I depart and reach the heavenly shore." It's a beautiful crown. This personal crown we shall receive, because 1 Peter 5 verse 4 tells us, "Ye shall receive a crown of glory." So it's going to be a beautiful crown. It's a crown of glory. We'll be in glory. It'll be in keeping with our surroundings. It's a beautiful crown. Peter goes on to say, 1 Peter 5 verse 4, "It's a crown of glory and it fadeth not away." This is an everlasting crown. It'll not fade away. No matter what kind of a crown the monarchs of this world receive, it eventually will fade away. But not the crown the Lord will give us. It's a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's a better crown. Not only is it a beautiful crown, it's a better crown. 1 Corinthians, and there in chapter 9 and verse 25, we read, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So here we have a better crown than any crown that an earthly king or queen will wear. Theirs are corruptible crowns. Our crown is incorruptible. It fadeth not away. It's a beautiful crown. It's a better crown. So we have noticed that it's a prepared crown and a personal crown. You notice further, it's a particular crown. This crown which Paul spoke about was no ordinary crown, because it's described as a crown of righteousness. This was a crown of righteousness for righteous people, given by a righteous Lord. A people made righteous by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. This crown will be given to those who lived righteously, who labored righteously, who loved all righteousness. That's who this crown is for. And the Apostle Paul was such an individual. He was a righteous man. He was righteous in his labors. And it is not surprising then that he was rewarded in such a way to receive a crown of righteousness. He was a righteous man. He loved righteousness. You look at how he emphasizes righteousness, the emphasis he placed on righteousness. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Follow after righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Follow righteousness, he's telling Timothy. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Paul didn't believe in a life where you have one foot in the world and one foot in the life of a Christian. He was all out for Christ. He lived a holy life. He pursued righteous living. Unfortunately, today there are some who convince themselves that there's nothing to be gained in living a righteous life. They like to have one foot in the world. They like to dress like the world. They like to be like the world. They like to talk like the world. They like to have the worldly attitude. They don't like to appear to be out of step with the world. Well, Paul was out of step with the world. He was a lover of righteousness. Elijah, who came to speak to Job one day, he said this, "What advantage will it be unto thee? And what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my sin?" What profit is there in it? If I'm cleansed from my sin, what advantage is there in living righteously. And there's some like that today. It's not a popular message today, you know. Life of holiness. Life of righteousness. A life of purity. Striving after holiness. Well, such individuals should remember, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So let us pursue righteousness. Yes, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But as Paul told Timothy, pursue righteousness. Make sure you live a righteous life. For when we live righteously, there will be a crown of righteousness given to us on that great day. We have considered thus far Paul and his crown. We look now at Paul and his Christ. For Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. It's good to receive the crown of righteousness, but it's better to be with the Christ of righteousness. It's good to be with Christ. But here Paul says, the Lord, the righteous judge. So you have a crown of righteousness, and you have Christ, the righteous judge. So it's righteousness all the way. And Paul says, the righteous judge shall give me that crown of righteousness at that day. Here he speaks about the person. You can imagine what it will be like to receive the crown of righteousness from the nail-pierced hands of the Savior. The Lord reaches us a crown and will see the nail prints in his hands. The only man-made thing in heaven. The Prince in the Savior's hands. Yet this is the experience which Paul looked forward to with great delight and anticipation. Receiving the crown of righteousness, yes, but receiving it at the hands of Christ, the righteous judge. The Christ whom Paul preached, the Christ whom Paul stood for, the Christ whom Paul loved, with all of his heart, on that great day, Christ will again condescend to hand a crown to one of his servants. Be a crown of righteousness. But, like Samuel Rutherford said, when we receive the crown at the hand of the Savior, who will be looking at the crown? The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze on glory, but on my King of grace, not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hands. For the Lamb is all the glory. In Emmanuel's land. It'll be a beautiful crown. It's a crown of glory. But sure, we'd rather look upon the King of glory. Christ is the King of glory. And surely upon seeing him, we will want to do what the elders did. We read what the elders will do in Revelation 4 and verse 4. Round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. So we have a crown of glory and we have a crown of gold. And we then read in verse 10, and the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns upon or before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. So there you have the 24 elders, representatives of the church. And they are around the throne wearing crowns of gold. But then when they look upon Christ and see the Lord Jesus, what are they prompted to do? Why, they take the crowns off their head and they cast them before His throne. And they cry, Worthy is the Lamb. Like Rutherford, they were not so much interested in the crown as in the Christ. Their eyes were upon Him. We could say today, crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown all music but His own. Awake my soul and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. We'd want to give our crowns to Christ. He's more deserving. We notice the person, and we notice the position. For we are told, Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. There's His position. He's judge of heaven and earth. That's His position. And the righteous judge shall hand down a crown of righteousness. What else would come from the hands of a righteous judge except a righteous crown or a crown of righteousness? And the Lord shall give to the one who is deserving of that crown. Paul was deserving of that crown, not through anything in himself, but all that Paul accomplished and all that Paul did and suffered for Christ was by the grace of God. Didn't the Lord say, My grace is sufficient for thee? And Paul was able to do all that he did by the grace of God. And the crown is given to those who deserve it by God's grace. For as Abraham said when he was pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And when it comes to handing out the crown, the judge of all the earth will do right. Only those who are deserving of the crown will receive the crown. Would that not speak to us and prompt us to be even more faithful and fervent for the Lord? To take a bolder stand for Christ? No matter what man think of us, no matter what man say about us, looking at the BBC web page and some video they were showing of Dr. Paisley's past life, they showed a clip of him standing at Strasbourg when the Pope came to address the members of the Common Market, the European Parliament. Now you think of the courage that took. There's this whole Parliament. Down in the center stands the Pope of Rome, the Antichrist. I know that when Dr. Paisley was climbing up the steps to get into the auditorium where the Pope was to appear, there were men trying to stop him going up the steps. And whenever he took his place and the Pope appeared to make his address, in Strasbourg, Dr. Paisley took out a poster he had stuffed inside his coat. And he cried out against the Pope of Rome as the Antichrist. Of course, they weren't too long until they bundled him out. But you think of the grace it takes to do that. We would hardly stand down in the street of Port Hope and preach the gospel in the open air. And yet our brother stood as a lone witness for gospel truth and for the crown rights of King Jesus, and he stood alone. Do you know something? He has received his crown now. He has been given his crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge. He is the judge of heaven and earth. He's the one who will sit on the great white throne and judge all who will stand before him, both small and great, bond and free. And the judge of all the earth will do right. And regarding the giving of the crown, Psalm 9, verse 8 says, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness." It's that wonderful word again. "He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister to the people in uprightness. And the Lord will give his crown, the crown of righteousness, on that day to all who love his appearing." Do you have the person? The position? His judge? Do you have the presentation? Regarding the crown, Paul said, "Which the righteous judge shall give me at that day." There's the presentation. He'll present me with a crown. I'll be presented with a crown of righteousness, and I will be presented with that crown by the one who's the judge of heaven and earth. Which the righteous judge shall give. There are many words in the Bible, original words in Greek and Hebrew, translated "give." This one is different. The word "give" says much about the crown which would be presented to Paul. For that word "give" is translated another way in Matthew 6. You turn to Matthew 6. You see how it is rendered there. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4. "That thine alms may be in secret, And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. The word give is translated reward. Same word. The Father that seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And so when Paul would receive this crown, it was the Lord rewarding Paul. It was a reward. The same is in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Same word again. He'll give you a reward. Those things that you do in secret, those things that are carried on by you for the Lord that nobody else sees, the Lord will reward you one day. And how will he reward? He'll give you a crown of righteousness. That's some reward. And when we stand for the Lord, and we fight for the Lord, and we battle for the Lord, and we serve the Lord will reward us. He'll give us or reward us with the crown of righteousness. And how Paul was rewarded for having fought a good fight, having finished his course, having kept the faith, he was well rewarded. Henceforth, what is there left for me now but to receive a crown of righteousness? This proves that the faithfulness and steadfastness of the Lord's servants do not go unnoticed by God. As we have said, those things that are done in secret, those things that we do for the Lord that nobody knows anything about, they're done not to receive a clap on the back, not for someone to say, "Hail, fellow, you did a great job." We do it all for Jesus, for his glory alone, not for ours, for his praise. I'll do it all for Jesus, the little chorus says, I'll do it all for Jesus. He's done so much for me. Think of our missionaries in far-off lands. We are sitting here. You and I have no idea what they're doing. But the Lord knows. The Lord sees them out there in Africa. The Lord sees them in the bush. The Lord sees them in the clinics caring for the poor and the lowly and the sick and the dying. The Lord sees them, preach to them and testify to them and tell them about the Savior. They'll receive a crown of righteousness. They'll be rewarded. Let us keep that in mind, believer. The Lord will reward us. For the Lord has said, Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. He'll reward every man, nobody will be missed out, nobody will be overlooked. He'll reward every man according to his works. What will that reward be? It'll be made up of many things. Well, just to see Christ will be reward enough, but we'll be rewarded with a crown of righteousness. That's what Paul was waiting for as he waited to go home to heaven. Henceforth, or is laid up for me. Now in the last place we have Paul and his company. Paul makes it clear that he would not be the only servant of God to receive a crown of righteousness. Because Paul says that this crown of righteousness would be given to him by the Lord, the righteous judge, and not to me only. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What do you have there? First of all, you have the promise. Not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's a promise. The word of God is promised. That believer, you and I, if like Paul, we remain faithful and steadfast and true to the Lord, we'll receive a crown of righteousness. We'll receive our reward. Pity the poor soul then. There is nothing cheerful to look forward to in eternity. Yes, they'll be rewarded after their works. But what will the reward of the ungodly be? Luke 13, verse 25. Luke 13 and verse 25. Then once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. I don't know you. Then shall ye begin to say, but we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. That's what the sinner has to look forward to. We've just read it. The Lord has promised it. The Lord always keeps his promise. And if the Lord promises to give all who love his appearing a crown of righteousness, and he'll keep that promise, then as he has promised to cast the ungodly out of his sight forever, he'll keep that promise to you. We shall receive a crown of righteousness from the nail-pierced hands of the Lord. The servant of God can look forward to the fulfillment of many things, many promises the Lord will fulfill, if not here, but certainly in heaven. One promise we're always glad to quote, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The Lord's promise. The Lord will keep that promise. And beside all this, we shall wear a golden crown when we get home. I shall lay my burdens down when I get home. Glad, clad in robes of glory, I shall sing the story of the Lord who bought me when I get home. When I get home, I'll wear a golden crown. the promise, and you have the people. Paul looked forward to receiving this crown, but then he mentions the others who would receive their crown also. He said, not to me only, but unto all them. All them that love his appearing. As Paul would be rewarded for his faithfulness, so would all them also who love his appearance. As Paul would be rewarded for his stand, so would all them. Revelation 2 verse 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. Remember seeing that text etched in a headstone at the grave of one of the Scottish Covenanters. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Paul had received that crown because he had been a fighter. Just as we have, we are exhorted to be a fighter for the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. Paul received the crown because he was a follower. He followed the Lord and lived in the center of his will. Wherever the Lord told him to go, wherever the Lord led him, Paul was there. Never out of the center of the Lord's will. Therefore, he received a crown of righteousness. Who will receive a crown of righteousness? Revelation 14, verse 4. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We need to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. In the last place, we have the prospect. For Paul speaks about that day, namely the Savior's appearing. And the crown of righteousness will be given unto all them that love his appearing. Evidently, it was very much in Paul's mind, the appearing of Christ, because he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. To all those that love his appearing. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, we've already quoted the words, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, we shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. To all them that love his appearing. We have loved him in all of his appearances unto us by faith. When he appeared to us on the cross, we fell in love with him then. When he appeared as our risen Lord, we loved him then. When he appeared to us in our valley of tears, we loved him then. When he appeared as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, we loved him then. When he appeared as the altogether lovely one, we loved him then. When he shall appear in the valley of the shadow of death, we'll love him then. When he appears in the heavens on his return, we'll love him then. And when he appears in glory, and we see him by sight, no longer by faith, we will love him then as we have never loved him before. And we'll receive a crown of righteousness. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who love his appearing. And if you love the appearing of Christ, then you love the Christ. Waiting to go to heaven. Believer, heaven is home for us. And what a home it is. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Father and our God, we do rejoice in thy promises and all that we have to look forward to, all that Christ has done for us. He's gone to prepare a place for us, a place of many mansions, many dwellings. Dear Lord, we're glad that we shall dwell with the Lord forever. What a dwelling that must be. No, Lord, we know that all the great saints, faithful servants of the Lord, who have gone before, they're dwelling with thee now. And our gracious Father, we pray that in the meantime, for each one of us here, have us, Lord, to serve thee with all of our hearts, to be faithful and true to thee. O Lord, may we pursue righteousness, endeavor to live a holy life, endeavor to be more and more and more and still more like Christ. We ask thee, Lord, that thou would abide with us now as we sit around the table. O Lord, draw near to us. Commune with us now. And for any who must leave, bless them. Grant them traveling mercy. We pray in the Savior's holy and wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.